I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Country Not Country, a Radio.com podcast. Here are your hosts, Aaron Austin and Nick Russo.
Welcome back to Country Not Country. Aaron, this is episode 29.
Yes, we are surviving. I always feel like at this moment I'm supposed to say something witty and I'm like, all I end up doing is like, yes!
Or clapping.
This is great, yeah.
Or second-guessing whether or not it's actually episode 29.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, it is episode 29, and Britney Spears has reacted to our podcast once again.
You know what? I don't believe you, but I guess we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I've loosely believed she's replying, but technically she kept up her end of the bargain by another plea of mine, so we'll go over that.
Okay.
Plus, a country artist had a 10-pound baby.
You know what? That is something that, I mean, has always been a big fear of mine because my family produced big babies. And I thought, if I ever have children, are they going to be the size of a bowling ball? But
Child was, and we'll find out which country artist brought that to the world. Also, you had a interesting development in your relationship world.
Well, yeah. I mean, since the losing my job, I've had an interesting development there.
Okay, so we'll talk.
I don't even know what to say.
So that's a pretty good foreshadow. I'm sure people can kind of grasp what's about to happen. And then dating during the pandemic clearly is tough because I also had quite the experience a couple weeks ago. So I'm ready now to share.
I mean, you always have good stories. And it's like, how do you find yourself in this situation? I'm not really sure sometimes.
I'm pretty sure this one involves wiretapping. So.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll get to the bottom of it. First, let's talk about Britney Spears. So the last time we were talking about her reacting to the podcast, I said, Brittany, I know you're listening, so if you are, show us some sort of sign about Project Rose and give me some development on this, and then if I feel like she's replying to us, then I'll continue to promote it for her, right?
Okay.
And so she did. Immediately after we posted the podcast, shortly after, she gave some insight to Project Rose, which honestly, it just sounds like it's a concept in her head. I don't know that there's a actual music to come with it just yet.
Okay.
Because she didn't play any snippets of the songs. You know, you would think that if she's working on an album and she's
going to... Or maybe she's just trying to build up the hype so much and get people talking. So she's trying to be super mysterious.
Yo, there's definitely an air to that. There's definitely an air of mysteriousness coming across. But she's
still posting the same picture 18 times.
No, but she is referencing when she took the video or took the picture before she posted.
Okay.
So she is being... So I was Googling before we started today about the conservatorship with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she won whatever it is they were trying to win. And so her dad, or the lawyer for her dad, has now countered the win. And she wants all of the conservatorship details open to the public. And the dad's lawyer is saying, no, we can't do that. We're not going
to
do that.
I would love to know, is she on an allowance? How much she, because I feel like that came out before, how much money she gets and what she spends on her clothes every month and security.
And how much time she spends with her kids.
Yeah.
There's a lot of personal life hurdles or life challenges that are in her life because of this conservatorship. That's what I'm gathering.
Yeah, that sounds messy. Very messy.
And I don't know, Brittany, I hope you're good. And the other reason that I thought that she was replying to us was because she had a whole video dedicated to how she danced in Vegas, if you will. And I told the story about seeing her in Vegas last week, too.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
Hey, I'm telling you, Aaron, there's lots of connections.
How much time do you spend on Britney Spears' Instagram page?
Not very much, honestly.
I mean, really? Yeah, are you sure?
I mean, I have a responsibility to keep up with it now that we're talking about her in the podcast.
Now, apparently, this is going to be an every episode thing that we're going to talk about
Britney.
Well,
until Project Rose comes out.
You think, oh man, I feel like talking about Britney Spears now in our podcast has turned into like coronavirus. Like that's all we are talking about anymore is freaking Britney Spears. Well, no offense to Britney, you're not coronavirus, but you know what I'm saying. You gather the correlation.
Well, yeah, I didn't anticipate it taking this turn when I first brought it up in the conversation. It was just something that was non-country to talk about, and then she had to start replying to the podcast.
Okay, can we move on? Let's talk about that 10-pound baby.
Okay, so Russell Dickerson and his wife Kaylee, who I feel like I'm good friends with.
That came out of nowhere. Well, all right.
Like, I feel like I got to know
besties?
Them a little bit.
Do you guys text each other?
Well, no, but my phone is part of their life.
Oh, yeah. How?
Okay, so when Russell Dickerson came to Kima 2 years ago, Kaylee, his wife, was trying to film his performance on her phone, and her phone died. Well, I was recording it on my phone, and she grabbed my phone out of my hand and recorded. I stopped the recording and began recording what she needed to record, and then had me send her the video afterwards.
Interesting. Okay.
And I'm glad that I was introduced to Kaylee ahead of time, or else this would have just been a random chick grabbing my phone and running off.
And you're like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah.
So, I feel like they're my friends. And I don't know if that's okay to say.
I feel like that's a little presumptuous, but, definitely you lent a helping hand when necessary.
For sure.
So, yes.
And Russell Dickerson is a really tall dude.
Yeah. So, okay. 10 pounds. By the way, it's funny we are talking about this because I feel like, when I was still on the air, I was talking about his wife being pregnant and we were on baby watch. I felt like she was pregnant forever, And then she has the baby on the day I get let go. So
maybe y'all were the ones that were super connected.
So she had the baby on the day I let go. And I totally just totally missed it until I was scrolling through Instagram when I finally wanted to look at stuff. And I was like, oh, well, there's that. Okay, well, congratulations. The baby finally arrived. But yeah, like 10 pounds. My family, he's very tall. Like, I think he's
6'3".
Okay.
Kaylee's not short either. She's a tall woman.
Yeah. So my family is known for, giving and birthing 10-pound babies. My dad was over 10 pounds, and both of my brothers were over 10 pounds. I, on the other hand, was 8 pounds, 15 ounces. So I was almost a 9-pound baby. And my mom is relatively my size. I'm 5'4". So when she got pregnant with me, she was my size before she had all these giant children. And so I was looking back, my mom would always say, oh, I used to have a body like you, Aaron, until I had you. And then, so then you guys ruined my body. And I was thinking, maybe this is one reason why I don't want to have children, because you're making it sound so appetizing.
Were you the youngest or the oldest?
Yeah.
So technically,
I apparently ruined my mother's body.
I don't think so. I think you made room for two 10-pound babies.
I just stretched it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Mom should thank me and send me a card. I don't know. But
you leave big shoes to fill.
Right. So the whole 10-pound, that's a lot. That makes me hurt.
So the baby's name is Remington Edward Dickerson, which is the long line of names. So Russell, R-E-D, is like Russell's initials, his dad's initials, and maybe his grandfather's initials also.
Okay.
I was thinking about the only relation I have to that is King Nick Russo, K-N-R, and then Catherine is Catherine Nicole. K-N-R has become my initial lineage.
Okay, well, that also brings up a question. You're a dude, but women that get married to men that they have to name their child a certain thing. You know what I mean? Like, could you ever do that?
Yeah, I guess so. I know that with Catherine, I always believe that my baby's mom named her Catherine Nicole. It was a tribute to me somehow. Nicole was Nick. It was the carrying on of who her dad was.
Okay, because I know a girl that married this guy. They had a kid, and they had to name it, like, he had to be the third or fourth or whatever. They had to keep that name in line. And it's kind of like Cheetah here in town,
Cheetah Craft.
Yeah, she's named her name is Cheetah. Her mom's name is Cheetah, and I think she named her daughter Cheetah. So,
really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that's like, I don't know if I could do that because, I don't know if I could.
I'd be in on it.
Had to have to name my child a certain something.
I think that once I got that deep into it, I generally have a pretty large respect for lineage and history in that respect.
Yeah.
So if someone like, because if I had the idea, if I had a son, I'd want to name him Rocco Antonio Russo. Which
oh, that's
is,
hilarious.
Yeah. Well,
I remember dating a guy and he wanted to name a boy Rocco, I think.
So I had a great uncle whose name was Rocco.
Okay.
And so I thought it would be cool to keep, you know, to bring back the name.
Mm-hmm.
And also as a big fan of Rocky. So.
Okay.
It all kind of worked together.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I never had this overwhelming desire to have children. However, at two points in my life, I did come up with names. And when I was really young, and I say really young, meaning like middle school, and I was like, if I ever have kids someday. And I had three daughters. They're this is so stupid. But they were going to be named Porsche, Mercedes, and Lexus. So dumb.
Yeah. Okay, Aaron.
And then when I was older, I wanted to name children after my grandparents. So, like, my grandmother's maiden name was Monroe, and I thought that would be a good name for a girl. And
well, the first three actually sounds like they would grow up to be strippers.
For sure. Depending on the last name, it'd be totally stripper names. But yeah, I mean, that's a 12-year-old thought for you. And so Remington, I think that's a good name. It's not too Hollywood. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, to me, it has some legacy behind it. It sounds like a legacy name. Like,
yeah.
Remington Edward. It sounds like it should be like a king of England or something one
yeah,
day.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's got to be some powerful. I would love to know the full background on.
Right.
But also, it spells red. Remington.
Yeah. By the way, I loved when I said what I'd name my child at, you know, in middle school, and I said Porsche, Lexus, and Mercedes. Your face was like, "What the hell?"
Oh.
that's the look you gave me. By
yeah,
the way,
I didn't expect that from you, Aaron. I didn't expect that. Sorry.
You know what? We live and learn and grow, and yeah, all that good stuff.
Since we were talking about relationships. You kind of hinted at what could happen in the last episode as you were going through the whole situation about what the day brought.
All right, yeah. So, okay, obviously, last episode, I had just lost my job, and I was worried about the guy I was dating. Like, and I think I even said, oh, I wonder if he's ever going to find me attractive anymore now that I don't have a job. And you're like, oh, yeah, no, he still will. Well, here's what happened. So it was that Thursday. He was out of town. I text him, let him know. I talked to him a little bit. I have to pick him up at the airport on Saturday. And it was fine. Like, everything was good. Like, it was comfortable. Nothing. It seemed like I hadn't even lost my job. Not even a big deal. So I had talked a little bit about people that had reached out so far and, you know, how I felt lost and I don't really know what my plan of action is, but I'll figure it out. Well, and I did tell him that some jobs had reached out. So
and they were outside of Houston.
Outside of Houston. So I don't know if that got his wheels spinning, but, you know, the next morning he leaves, goes and does his own thing. I don't see him that Sunday, talk to him a little bit. But at the end of the night, he had gone and had dinner with a friend. And it was like 10:30 or something when he called me and kind of just like laid it out there. And he was like, I think you need to go and, you know, in your future plans, I don't think you need to put me into the equation. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, I mean, you're a radio personality. It's not just what you do for a living. It's who you are. And I just feel like you need to go find what makes you happy and just take me out of the equation. So I was like, are you breaking up with me right now? And he's like, I just don't know. It's just a lot of pressure. Saying how since we had only been dating a month that me losing my job was too much pressure and he didn't want to have to, I don't know if it's like he didn't want to have to worry about I wasn't asking for any assistance. You know, I guess I just thought, hey, things are going good. I'm going to figure this out. And if I'll cross that bridge when we get there, if I have to move and we need a breakup or whatever, but I was just thinking he would be there and be supportive and he just removed himself.
Yeah, and I've told you this before about it. You know, I can understand what he's saying because at the end of the day, this is a reevaluation time for you in that respect. Like, you are trying to figure out what your next move is. It may include Houston. It may not. You don't know. Like, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
I would venture to say that in this situation, you need as much certainty as you can get, right? And whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having a relationship that's leveled in uncertainty is not a good thing to have.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, part of me thought, oh, are you freaking kidding me? Like, you literally kicked me while I'm down.
It's a Luke Combs song.
Yeah, and then
but I don't think he was trying to kick you while you were down. I think he was actually trying to help you because he feels like he may have hurt you by being there. Like, not being there for you, by making you consider anything regarding him while deciding what's best for you would be unfair to you.
No, and I get that. It's just, you know, you meet people and finding somebody that you have a connection with or that you like, that's not easy either, you know. So no matter the situation, me finding a job isn't going to be easy, and me finding somebody isn't easy. And the one part seemed to be going, oh, you know, pretty well.
But the reality was it had only been like 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. And but then you start, I'll be honest, everyone's like, oh, you guys weren't even dating that long, so, you know, what are you even worried about? But it's like, at the same time, I thought things were going well and clicking. And I'm like, man, this is a little bit different than I've felt in the past. And then I start, now I second guess myself. I second guess, was any of that real? Was I imagining how he was responding to me and how he was acting towards me? Was that all fake?
Well, that sounds like the Maddie and Tay song. Where, like, how could it be really real if he doesn't love me like I loved him, right? That's what she says. And
love is a strong word in this case, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I was digging what was happening,
you know? And I think that you have to continue to respect what happened, and you can't attach what's happening now to that because that would devalue the experience you had in a blissful place. And you don't want to devalue that because it's real and you enjoyed it. So going back to try to rehash that and make it bad now doesn't do you any favors.
No, that's true. Yeah. And yeah, that's the thing. I tend to do that to myself where I then second guess everything that was good.
Where did you meet him?
On a dating app, on Hinge.
There you go. I'm telling you, girl. I'm telling you, it's the.
But technically, that's where the final place. Originally, he had friended me on Facebook out of nowhere,
and no, I was mutual, like, friends.
We had some mutual friends, and I remember
what was the time differential? But this is all new information to me. What was the time differential from Hinge to the friend request?
Oh, okay. So friend request happened first, and that happened several months before. I'm pretty sure several months before. And I remember seeing his profile, and I'm like, who's this guy? Why is he friend requesting me? And I looked up our mutual friends, one of them who I, you know, adore. And I was like, well, he doesn't seem like a bad dude. I'm singles Pringles. So let's, you know, yeah, I'll accept you. And then there was the follow on Instagram. Maybe I saw him pop. What? Now, I think I followed him because I was like, oh, and you know how
suggest.
I was like, all right, I'll follow you, you know. So I think I gave him the follow. And then maybe a couple weeks or a month later, he popped up on Hinge and I was like, oh, look at that. And I think it maybe said just joined or some shit. And so I looked.
Fresh meat. That's what that means.
Well, you know, and so, I think I saw something that he said that I liked, and I gave him a little heart, you know, for one of his comments. I never like pictures. I never would like pictures. I always liked something they had to say. So, yeah, and then we met up and went on a 5-hour date, and there you have it.
Well, you know, so I realized something else we're going to talk about on the podcast, the Social Dilemma Show.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to tell you about that. So, and it relates to exactly what you were just saying with, oh, he added me on Facebook, and then I saw him as a suggested follow on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and then he showed up in my Hinge.
Yeah.
So, according to Social Dilemma, that's not a coincidence.
Oh, yeah. I was like, huh, this is destiny. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, like, I didn't know him from Adam, and especially with a Facebook request, I was like, oh, he knows this friend of mine. Well, okay. Well, doesn't seem like a bad dude. All right. Okay.
Yeah, and all in all, I don't
even know how he found me, though. I came. No.
If he had mutual friends, and you likely showed up in people he may know.
Okay. Facebook to tell us it was meant to be, at least only for a month.
Well, according to the social dilemma, they could care less about where it went. All they wanted
was us to connect.
Yes, because the more you connect and the more time you spend on the screen, the higher value you are to the tech company in which application you're using.
But what's the final verdict? Did I date a jerk, or am I like, did I just find myself in a pickle of life?
It's just a pickle of life. Like, it's just the way it goes. Like, it's okay. I think it's more important for you to worry about how you're going to advance your life without somebody attached to it than it is to find someone to be with right now. Like, you know,
I know. I do know that's more important. I was like, damn, could this girl just can I get a break once in a while? Like, I mean, now I got to find a job and then eventually somebody. Like, what the hell?
Well, it's not like you don't have a complete drought of dating.
Well, now I will, because let's be honest.
When you think like that,
I'm going to have a complete drought until I find a job. And then whatever happens, if I stay here, okay, fine. But if I leave, oh, hell, then I have to like move to a new town and be like, hey, I just moved here. Does anybody want to date me? Like,
well,
no,
just get on one of the dating apps and you'll be the new fresh meat.
Yeah. God, such a dick.
See, it's just circle of life, Aaron.
Oh, God.
Now you're the new one.
The universe cut me a break. Something.
Like, well, I'll tell you, like the tweet I sent out the other day, that God has to remove something significant from your life to put in something else in its place that's even more significant. So,
well, and I will say, over the weekend, I mean, people can make fun of me if they want, but I do like Joel Osteen's services and sermons. And this weekend, the one that was on was so spot on, and I'm gonna have to go and watch it again because I recorded it. But it was about your destiny, and you know, taking those things out of your life that you need to remove so you can get to your what God's plan is for you. And it's like, and where we get comfortable.
Well, take no mistake about it. That was God giving you a sign that everything's gonna be okay. Like in my life, I've always taken signs like that, particularly right after I got let go. The last two instances when I was let go, I had immediate signs that I would say were from God that said, hey, I got you. You're going to make this. And so,
I mean, I want to believe you're right. It's just like I said in the last podcast.
Well, you got to change that sentence. Don't say, I want to believe you're right. Say, I believe you're right.
I believe you're right. But I'm very impatient, and we've talked about this before. I'm very impatient. And so right now, it does make me wonder, like, how long am I going to be sitting out before I give up on that? And just, you know, it's like, you know, we all know people that have had to take jobs just to pay their bills. And I want to believe that my next opportunity isn't one where I'm just going to have to take to pay the bills. I would like it to mean something.
And that's why I think you should totally figure out a way to find a way to work for yourself also, because you have the capability of doing it. I think you just got to get creative and come up with it. And that's where, like, I mean, you've been super active. You made your website. You've put together some best of tapes and a resume, and you know, and you've got all that there. So, I mean, your website looked awesome. And and I think that I think you have the capability of even syndicating your own afternoon show type of thing. Like, I don't see why that's out of the question. You know, I believe you have. You just got to repackage your skills, what you have. And like we said at lunch, you know, there's the idea of working for someone or working for yourself. And you're at a crossroads where if you put together the right material and the right sort of thing, you could probably create something to work for yourself. Because the internet is a vast internet. And if you get in, all you need is you just need a few people to tap in. And if you have tons of content for them, they're going to flood you. You know, that's the new way of making yourself on the internet, so to speak. Like, there's a rapper named Russ, and I followed him for the past couple of years. I didn't find out about his music until about 4 or 5 years after he started. Mm-hmm. And then he eventually erupted. Well, when his fans came to him just recently, they went and found this huge catalog of his. And he had hundreds of songs. Well, all those songs began making him money. because they were already there. So when he finally tripped the audience and they come flooding down the mountain to hear his music, when they get to the bottom, they got a village of all kinds of music they can hear from him. And so he had this library of content. And so that's why I think, you know, to your, you know, you're talking about your blog, you know, and you, how many blogs you have. You've written a book. You have the content.
Granted, it's grammatically incorrect, like a son of a bitch, but yeah.
But yeah. I'm just saying, I believe you can turn that into something, and you will.
Yeah.
You just got to, you know, just be patient. The answers will reveal themselves.
Okay. All right. Now let's go on to your story.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up next on Country Not Country.
I get in my car, start to reverse out, and I hear on my window. First thought, did I hit a kid? Second thought, oh no, it's that dude. And I look, right, and I can see it's him. And I just say, this dude's trying to get run over. And I just drive off. And she's like, was that him? I go, yeah, he just tapped on my window. She's like, oh my gosh, you could drop me off here. And I was like, no, I'm going to take you home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's acting, I believe, you know.
I mean, that's kind of crazy.
He's acting a little weird. So I want to make sure you're okay and you get home safely. I'm not just going to leave you there, even if he is fine.
Welcome to Country Not Country, a Radio.com podcast. Here are your hosts, Aaron Austin and Nick Russo.
Are you ready for this?
Okay.
So,
do I know this story?
I believe so.
Okay.
This is
this
happened on the Kentucky Derby night, the day of the Kentucky Derby.
Okay.
I'm good friends with all the folks out at Sam Houston Race Park. And by the way, I was invited to ride camels when they do the camel racing pretty soon.
Oh, I always wanted to do that.
I might be able to get you in. I'll see. I'm in
deep
now. Former
radio host.
Hey, you never know. No, radio syndicated host. You never know.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I needed a date. And there's a gal that I'd gone out with before on a date. And I met her in a workplace. And we were cool. Like So when I first met her, I was seeing somebody. So I didn't want to mislead her and to believing that I wanted to be honest. This is probably why I don't have much of a dating life, is because I'm too honest and I'm okay with that. I'll fall on that sword. I told her, I was like, look, I've been seeing someone. I don't know if it's going to work out or not. We're actually having some trouble right now, but because I don't want to be dishonest, I'm telling you the truth. And if things fall apart here the way they appear to be, then I will be more than happy for us to meet again and go out to dinner and get to know each other. Right.
I mean, I don't know why that would be a bad thing for you to do. I would rather have a guy tell me that than like, oh yeah, here, text me. And then like you start this texting relationship on the down low.
Yeah, I'm not into that. I'm not into the texting relationships at all, or the Snapchat relationships or anything like that.
God, that's so
anyway,
stupid.
So time has gone by. Obviously, pandemic has played its role. I've spent a lot of time being single and a lot of time alone.
During this pandemic.
So
yeah.
I had the invitation to go to Sam Houston Race Park for Derby Day. There was no live racing, but they were still having something. Mm-hmm. And there were still a lot of people there. I was actually impressed with the turnout. And it wasn't anything like normal Derby Day, but anyway. So I had two passes. So I reached out to my friend, invited her to go. She lives in the neighborhood. She was down. She was excited. Got a nice dress, and wore a nice outfit, tie, coat, nice shoes, everything. The food at Sam Houston Race Park is great, but mm-hmm. I thought it would be more comfortable for us to have a dinner. So I figured we'd have a drink there.
Oh, you mean you wanted to have a actual date?
Yeah. And this was like a kind of a social type environment. We could have a drink or two, mm-hmm. and then go have dinner and call it a night. You know, and so after Kentucky Derby went great. Everything went great. Awesome. Incredible time. We go to dinner, and dinner's great. We're having a good talk. We both had a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner's winding down. We're both pretty much finished with our plate, and her phone is going off like nonstop ringing. And I believe she had a watch, and the watch was going off also.
Oh, God.
And so she felt like she was just getting bombarded by messages. Well, it was her baby's dad.
Oh, well, hell.
Yeah, and prior to that, I was curious about the situation with her daughter's dad, you know? And so she told me that the relationship is healthy and it's good, right? And so that is who was blowing up her phone. So she apologizes and says, I need to take this real quick. Something might be wrong. So she picks up the phone, and I can tell by the vibe that something is not right. I don't know what it is, but then she hangs up and she's like, so my baby's dad is outside.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, and mind you, I'm sitting in front of the window to the outside. And I go, as in right behind me? She's like, yeah. And I was like, well, I'm not going to turn around. So I told her, you know, because I don't want to make this weird. But if you need to go outside to talk to him, you can, you know, go
ahead.
So
he's like staring at the back of your head?
I believe so. Or at least from a few feet outside that window, he was staring at her, one or the other. You can see us both through the window. So whatever he was doing, he was outside staring in the window. And so I didn't know what to do. I just kind of sat there, and she went outside to talk to him and make good, I guess. And I waited about 10 minutes, and that's when I text you. Because
yeah.
I was like, this is my situation. Do I go outside? Do I pay the bill? Do I leave? What do I do? And so under suggestion, ironically, from the guy we just talked about in your situation,
I know, right?
He says, it's time to leave, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's been 10 minutes. We're done with our meals. It's time to leave.
Yeah.
So I go ahead and I pack up and I pay the bill and put on my jacket and prepare to see what happens. So I walk to the front door.
Oh, God.
She's coming inside. Looks like she's been crying, like tears might be in her eyes, right? And she smiles to fight it off and kind of give the... I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know, are we ready to leave? I'm like, yeah, we can go. Let's get out of here. So we start walking to my car, and I see him walk away when I first walked out the door. So I knew which direction he went and what he looked like, but I looked around and I didn't see him. So we continued to walk to my car. When we got to my car, I opened her car door. She got in. I shut the door. I saw behind me there was a family starting to walk. So I knew I had to be careful reversing out. I get in my car, start to reverse out, and I hear on my window. First thought, did I hit a kid? Second thought, oh, no, it's that dude. And I look,
right.
And I can see it's him. And I just say, this dude's trying to get run over. And I just drive off. And she's like, was that him? I go, yeah, he just tapped on my window. She's like, oh, my gosh, you could drop me off here. And I was like, no, I'm going to take you home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's acting, I believe, you know.
I mean, that's kind of crazy.
He's acting a little weird. So I want to make sure you're okay and you get home safely. I'm not just going to leave you there. Even if he is fine, I was taking responsibility for her at the time. So I'd take her home. I hop on 249, and now he's following us. So,
oh, God.
Yeah, and so I'm like, I exit too early, not on purpose, but after I realize I exit too early, I realize I'm going to mess with him because now he has followed me down the ramp. I'm like, so I do a U-turn. He follows me. I get back on the road. I do another exit, and I probably drove around for like 15 minutes just wasting his time. And so she lived on a cul-de-sac. I pulled in to where she could walk to her house without being interrupted. And so when she got just about to the door, I pulled off and he hauled ass up and then hopped out of the car to talk or whatever.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. And honestly, she texted me afterwards and hoped everything was good.
My thought was, is she going to be okay? Because, I mean, I hate putting this out in the universe, but how many times do you hear of these domestic violence situations and you know, the guy is jealous because she's moving on with her life and whatever, and then ends up doing something terrible. We've heard that story on the news a million times.
And that actually concerned me because he hopped out of the truck really fast and ran towards her door. And I didn't see him come back out, meaning that I thought he got in.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was the case, I know that their daughter was there. So I didn't want, in my mind, I had a decision to make whether or not I was going to intervene. I chose not to. And I just chose to leave. She told me that this kind of situation wasn't completely out of the ordinary, so to speak, you know, that, but so my thought is either he just was on a hunch that she would be in that shopping center because it's close to her house, or B, I thought maybe that the phone, because like if, let's say I have your email address, like your iCloud account,
yeah,
and it's logged into my iPad, I can see all your messages and everything you text and tweet and anything you post.
Well, and or my...
Your location.
Your location. I mean,
yeah, she may be sharing her location with him as a precautionary method for the daughter, and so he utilizes that to try and be close to her, I guess. You know, I don't know what happened, but I can't have you, no one can, sort of like vibe, yeah. You know. And then I felt bad because I don't hold it against her. Honestly, I would still talk to her. I'd still be open to, you know, talking to her. I'm her friend still. But it does make it a little weird. Like, I believe that he has tapped her phones, right? My belief is that he already knew that there was a date coming up, which explains why his over-the-top behavior, like this overwhelming desire to introduce himself to me, so to speak, you know? Like,
that's just like really, I mean, if he were... Well, first of all, you drove, right? So how did he would have had to know exactly where she was, or maybe saw her walk. But at the same time, you guys had just finished your meal and
he starts blowing up her phone.
Yeah. So it's like,
he waiting till we were done eating?
No, or did he finally look and see where she was and like, oh, hell, she's at that restaurant. You know what I mean? I can't. I feel like he had to have known. I don't feel like that was coincidence and that he just happened to stumble upon seeing you two sitting in a window eating a nice fish dinner. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's no way that just randomly that the universe just put us in that situation.
Yeah, like he's walking by and like, wait a second.
That's what I'm saying. He had to have some sort of inside information.
Yeah.
In order to be there.
That's my feeling, is that he had to have known.
Maybe he just knew her location. That's less sinister than tapping her phone and seeing her text messages, I think. So let's talk about The Social Dilemma.
Okay.
Have you watched it yet?
No. You told me I need to watch it, and I also told the dude I was dating, oh, Nick says we need to watch that. And he was like, okay, sounds great. Yeah, but we never watched it. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's on Netflix, and essentially it's the people who started the monetization of Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Google, Gmail. Like, they were the ones who were in the production of those apps in the early stages. And there's two parts of it. Either A, you could be, what's the big deal that they know what apps we're on or how long we use them? Mm-hmm. Well, we think, how does a tech company make money? Off of advertising. Well, how do they determine how much money the ads are worth? By how long each user spends on the app. So the goal of the app is to keep us and keep our attention on the app as long as possible. So how do they do that? They know everything about you because we allow them to see where we go, when we go, what time we wake up, who our friends are on Facebook, right? Each app knows who you're connected to.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, I'm going down the wormhole right now.
And that's what they want you to do. Mm-hmm. So the wormhole that you explained earlier was, oh, he sent me a random friend request.
Yeah.
Right? Well, it wasn't random. You were in his people you may know. Why? Because Facebook knew that if they showed him someone who he had mutual friends with, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, there's a high likelihood he's going to attach to that profile. What does that do? That engages these two profiles. What does that do? It stimulates the amount of traffic that these two people will entertain with each other. What else do they have in common? They both have dating apps attached to their profile. Oh, we have this information. Oh, then they're probably great. Let's go ahead and suggest him on Instagram to her. Oh, yeah, look, made the connection again. Double down on the connection. All right. Oh, Hinge, another connection. And now you have these three deep connections to each other where through these apps you are constantly. So what does that do? It increases your value as an individual to the tech company on the app you're using. Your feed is not determined by what you're interested in. Your feed is determined by what the computer server believes you will most likely click on. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
It's not about. And so the catch is that, okay, so what's the big deal? It doesn't matter. We're still going to use the app. We're still going to share our information. What's the sinister part?
Right.
What's the problem? Well, the problem is that they're taking advantage of the psychological vulnerability of our mind. While our mind is, our brain is a complex structure, synapses connect, all the different segments fire with each other. You can subconsciously, consciously tell yourself, but there's still blind spots to our psyche.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to if you're coming around the corner and you don't see me and I jump out and scare you, I'm taking advantage of a physical time and brain vulnerability of yours. The fact that you cannot see around that corner, I'm taking advantage of it to scare you.
Okay.
So the same thing happens in the social media world when it comes to our own vulnerabilities. They know, basically every time you get a notification, whether it's your phone pinging for a text message or, you know, they know that that creates dopamine. Well, that dopamine hit is something we want. So we keep going back to it to try to get the dopamine. And so how do you do it? You keep on going in and in and in to get more. Well, what happens to our young people in the social media world? So you have a girl that posts a picture of herself. she doesn't get very many likes, while the girl she doesn't like in the other class posts almost the same exact picture but gets 100 likes. Well, how does that? How does
been
that,
there? Okay.
But how does that? But how does that? What does that do to their psyche? It makes them feel like they're inferior when they're not.
Right.
There's no reason to believe you're inferior. But that young lady is going to believe that. So what does she do? She adds a filter. So what does the filter do? Oh, now she gets 100 likes because she used the filter. Oh, well, that means that a filtered version of her real self means that she'll get more attention that way.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens then? So then you start altering things about yourself to try and create more value. Well, then whenever you're flat on your face and you have none of that, you have no value because you've put it all into this. So what is the result of that? Suicide is up over 125% in young girls ages 10 to 14.
Damn.
10 to 14. 10-year-old girls are thinking about taking their life because of what is, and that's the other thing this social dilemma episode says, or show says, is that the common denominator in all those cases was social media. That social media, what it does to us psychologically by how we value ourselves deteriorates it.
Well, and I was going to add on to that. I think bullying has probably gotten worse because of it. So add the social media combined with the bullying. I mean, it's because I don't know about you. Were you ever bullied as a kid?
Yeah, but I use humor and my voice and talking to get away from it.
Okay. I can't say that elementary school picked on, middle school maybe a little bit, high school not so much. I always tried to be everybody's friend. So even though I wasn't the most popular kid in school, I was friends with the most popular girl
maybe
in school.
Maybe the most well-known person.
The what?
Maybe the most well-known.
Yeah, because I would talk to everybody, and I would talk to the kids that, you know, would sit in class and had no friends.
Same here. That's probably why we have a lot in common, Aaron.
Yeah. So, there was always this one kid, and I'll never forget him. He kind of reminded me of my brother, but, I would always just talk to him. I was friends with a foreign exchange student, so, I just tried to be nice to everybody.
There was this young guy named... We were both young kids. Sixth grade, he was new to school. His name was Michael Diasis. And I walked up to him and I sat with him at lunch. He didn't have anybody to sit with. And I remember I told him I would be his friend or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he always held on to that. He's always like, man, Nick, you were the first one to ever come up and be my friend. Like, I remember that. Like, I was his first friend when he moved to a new school.
Yeah. And I imagine now bullying and people being nasty. I mean, people are nasty.
Super
nasty.
So going even further there. I've talked to a couple parents who have daughters who've gone through this already. And so they've talked about how their daughter was starting self-harm at like 15 or 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no idea. Why? Because she was in her room, falling down the dark hole by herself all the time, never reaching out for anyone for help. Because it only exists on the screen. It only exists in that social media world. So it makes no sense to tell mom. You sound like an idiot when you tell mom, oh, well, the girl didn't like my picture, da, 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 whatever it is. You know what I mean?
But you know what's so funny? That sounds so juvenile, but how many times as an adult, I mean,
yes,
I know I found myself
that's the
like-
the problem.
That
we can't even handle it and we're fucking grown adults.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I just thought of that now. Like you're talking about a 12-year-old girl and she's like, oh my God, so-and-so didn't like my picture. And I just think, I think I might have done that the other day.
But imagine,
you know what I mean?
But imagine,
and I'm in my 40s. Like,
yeah,
oh my God.
But imagine how much more detrimental it is to a child who hasn't had the life experience you to know to bounce away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so she was telling me how her...
Well, if you catch me on a certain time of the month, I'm probably going to be like that 12-year-old girl too.
Well, so the counselor at school told the parents that she went to her and told her she was harming herself, and her parents were floored. They had no idea. They had no clue that their daughter was engaging in this. So now her daughter's 18. She's overcome this. She's a bright girl, moving on to college, doing well for herself. Well, now she's got a daughter in middle school, and it's happening already. And she couldn't believe it because she's already battled this one time. And now her youngest is going through the same thing. And it's because these apps are run by computer servers, not people. These computer servers have an algorithm programmed by a person, but once the computer begins the process, the hands are off. The man no longer has control of it. The computer,
oh my gosh,
computer is controlling the rabbit hole that we go down.
Like that, like Snoop Dogg's
yes.
Corona
down the hole
we all go. I, you know, like I saw that. Was it yesterday? And I was like, oh damn, Snoop Dogg and his wisdom.
The texting and tweeting and dum-dum-dum-dum. Down the hole we all go.
Yeah. Man, and it also makes me think of this TV show. It's not on anymore, but I loved it. And it had Jim Caviezel, who was the guy that played, remember the movie about Jesus that Mel Gibson?
Oh, yeah. A Passion of Christ.
Yeah. So he was the guy that played Jesus. So he was in this show. It was on CBS for years. It was called Person of Interest, and it was about this computer that would have these algorithms and numbers would come up, and it could tell if you were going to do something bad or somebody was going to die. You know what I mean? Like something was going to happen, and it just, I don't know, part of that made me think of the wormhole and computers deciding stuff and all that kind of nonsense.
And I think that was the other part that was about this show, The Social Dilemma, was that Google, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, all of them, they've got warehouses full of servers that are maintaining all the information of every single person on their app and all the data that is saved under that person. It's in a giant room, a computer server. Some of these are underwater to save on physical space because they're so gigantic and to keep them cool.
Oh my God. It just,
that means that all the stuff that we live in our life, every time I've texted or checked in on Facebook, or even when I didn't check in on Facebook, all that data of me is in a Facebook server somewhere on a computer saved under a profile number.
Well, think about just your cell phone in general, right? Oh. So location, we're talking about location.
Heart rate now and all the other stuff.
Yeah. Okay. There was that story locally about how there was this young woman that was killed, and they figured out that her cell phone sat next to his cell phone for a certain amount of hours. And that's how they correlated that this guy was probably the person that did it.
Wow.
It was like they were just near each other for hours.
Proximity.
And I was like, oh, damn. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
that's nuts. But also that makes me think how big of creatures of habit we actually are. Mm-hmm. We don't realize it until it's put out on paper in front of us how much time we spend doing one thing or spend in one place or how often we get up and do this same routine every day. Like whenever we would come to work, I guarantee you our first 45 minutes, yours or mine, if you lined it up, looks 90% of the time the exact same thing. But yeah, we would never think that because we just live our life. We're not looking at a readout of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Definitely creatures of habit. And now with the pandemic, it's turned into a different pattern of
So taking that one
monotony.
Step further from creatures of habit to what happens when you're that predictable? You're that manipulable.
Oh,
is manipulable? Is that the word? Manipulatable? You open yourself to manipulation.
Yes.
I like manipulatable.
Yeah, like, did you just come up with like a George Bush made up word?
I kind of feel like I did a little bit.
Strategery.
So, all right. Well, I guess we go into music from here.
How long are we at right now?
We're at 50 minutes.
Should we just pass on the music?
No, hell no.
Okay. I mean, sorry, Lauren Elena. Okay. Yes, we can listen to Lauren Elena.
All right. So, Lauren Elena has her new EP out.
And this came out like a good month ago.
So it's called Getting Over Him. Clearly, it has something to do with an ex getting over him, right? But I listened to the whole EP. And
of course you did, because you love you some Lauren Elena.
Can dream.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, so, all right, so the Lauren Elena story, I feel like I've told this story before, and I've definitely told friends, so maybe this will be the longest form story that I've ever actually said, you know, is it was Pasadena Rodeo.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Nichols, Lauren Elena, Scotty McCreery, and Low Cash.
Yeah. I think I know where this story is going, and I'm about to laugh.
Okay. They were playing the Pasadena Rodeo on the rotating stage. The show was called Bull Bash, and I was a little late showing up to the hospitality room, and this is where the meet and greet was happening. So I go into the hospitality room, and I walk over to you and somebody else who is standing there, who we work with, and across the room, there's a beautiful gal that I make eye contact with, and we'll share a little bit of a smile, and I was like, wow, pretty sure she was smiling at me. That doesn't happen all the time, right?
Because she's smiling at you doesn't mean she wants you.
I know my life, okay?
Okay.
And I'm just saying, girls don't just straight up smile at me all the time.
Well, they do if they're nice people.
Well, apparently not. You know, in my experience, even the nice ones don't always smile at me, right? Anyways, so obviously she caught my eye. Well, then I had to find out that's Lauren Elena. Well, at the time, the only song that she had out was What Ifs with Kane Brown. Mm. So in my mind, I was like, oh, okay, that's her. Wow, she's gorgeous. I had no idea that was her, you know? And so on goes the day. I'm not, obviously, at that point, I had no real ambition or belief that she was into me other than the fact that she smiled and I felt good about that. That was it, right? It wasn't like, oh man, I think I got a chance. None of that.
I can't wait until the next, like, the next paragraph of this story.
Yeah, so she goes on. Actually, they all go on at the same time, mm-hmm. and they all take turns performing.
Basically, it was like a mini 10-man jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. And I walk out to the front row because they have like a space between the front row and the rail and the stage. So I'm on the inside of the rail for photographing purposes and whatnot. And I'm standing in the front of the stage. Well, Lauren Alanis starts singing her part, and she has a powerful voice. Like, yeah. Nobody saw that coming, right? Nobody knew that she was about to sing like that. And I remember that night from her performance, that she stole the show. Well, while she was performing, she looks down at me and begins making facial expressions while she's singing.
I see, and you're like,
no, no, Aaron, no.
No,
I did not.
I'm sorry, but okay.
Aaron,
I'm not discounting that she was looking at you.
Neither am I.
However,
I did not believe she was looking at me with any intention. I did not want to believe that, but there was nothing else to believe when you see that. So I was like, Nick, don't fool yourself into believing that
she
somehow
wants you.
Yes, that is what was going on in my head. I wasn't saying that out loud. I'm holding a camera, mind you. I'm holding a camera. So maybe she's performing for the camera, right? In my mind, there's lots of reasons that she is looking in my direction with those facial expressions, singing a song. But I'm not believing that it's because I'm so damn handsome that she's like, golly, I'm going to sing to this guy, right? I'm not.
Well, I have two thoughts. My first thought is that, and I this isn't a dig at her at all, but, you know, she's a performer and she's a little bit of a ham. So I can see her being like, oh, yeah, I'm going to zone in on this guy. And
to get it going.
Yeah. You know, because maybe her zoning in on one guy helps get her
into the zone.
Yeah.
Or helps her get a little flirty a little bit. Yeah, it's almost like, and then my thought was, I was mascot in seventh grade, and so I went with the cheerleaders to their dance practices, and they made them make these faces whenever they would dance. And, like, they would make them, like, pucker their lips or squinch their face on certain moves to be more animated for the crowd.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, okay.
And so if you ever
maybe
watched,
I need to try that.
If you ever watch cheerleaders, like professional cheerleaders, they're making these crazy faces and wide eyes, and they're doing this.
Well, it reminds me of Mo because she is very animated in her face, and when she, like, they would do videos, and it makes me think, like, oh,
was she a cheerleader?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, totally. Yeah. Then that totally lines up.
Yeah.
So that was actually what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, my passion and for this story comes because of what happened shortly after. So,
oh dear.
As I'm digesting this, the guy, kid, young man on the rail in the crowd starts tapping me on the shoulder, and not just finger, like slapping me on the shoulder, going, "Bro, she's singing to you, bro. She's singing to you."
Dude, like, it's like, and I want to go back and tell that young man, don't feed the beast.
Okay? Yes, I was telling him that too. I'm like, don't do this to me, bro. Don't do this to me because, oh, like, God. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. And yeah. I can't go down this rabbit hole with you, bro. I see it too, man. I see it too. You know what I mean? Like, we were all seeing it. We were all there. It wasn't.
But moral of the story is,
she had a boyfriend.
And she got engaged, and then she broke up with that guy, and then ended up dating that other guy that was a total disaster.
Yeah, by the way, that guy has made a recovery in life from that disaster because he got in trouble for, like, being inappropriate in the DMs.
Was it, like,
and stuff.
Me too-y or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was crossing lines in DMs, apparently, and while he was in a relationship, it makes it even worse, right? So anyways, so we'll play the title track, Getting Over Him, and then I'll play the song that I think is the hit. So this is Getting Over Him, and I'm just going to...
Heard from a friend of a friend that you had a reputation. And it sounded like my kind of lonely medication. I was the girl he'd cheat on, looking for a little bit of neon. So I got drunk, hit you up, and you took the invitation. We were dive bar kissing, high fake things, and don't string Saturday night. Hot like a match, burning out fast. Forever wasn't in our eyes. You knew it, and I knew it. It was a damn good time. My last call, first call, no fear.
falling, just my getting over him guy.
All right. Go. Okay, I'm liking that.
And John Party and her had another song on John Party's album called Don't Blame It on the Whiskey that I really liked a lot also. Mm. So they work good together. I didn't hear the John Party. We didn't play the John Party part, but you'll have to go listen to the actual EP to hear that part. When it comes to hit music, I do believe there's a difference between a great song and a hit song. There's a lot of great music that never makes it to be a hit, in my opinion. You understand what I'm saying, right? So this is what I believe to be her hit. Let's check it out, I think. Here it is.
You can have that coffee shop we went on our first date. You can have that Waffle House right off the interstate. When we'd sober up under fluorescent lights, I'll miss Linda, but hey, that's all right. I'll give you back that sweatshirt, the one that I love. And you can keep our favorite song like Jesus does. And that 8th Avenue Sunday 9 a.m. service. You can have all that. I'll even change churches, but taking back that little hole in the wall, the red door sign saying come on in, y'all. The deep bitty shots, the bartender Nick, the smoky patio with all my rowdy friends. You can have any bar that you want, but not this one in Midtown. Find a new place to hang out. Better not see you around again, 'cause I'm taking my bar back. Ooh, I'm
Yeah, you know what's funny? I mean, I like that. I don't know. I feel like I liked the other one better.
Oh, the getting over him?
Uh-huh.
So maybe she has two hits.
Yeah. I thought that, I will say this. I like these songs better than there's one song that might have actually been a hit for her. And I was like, no, maybe it was the Ladies or the Ladies,
oh,
of
Ladies
the
90s. In the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, I thought
know,
that one
I don't
was.
I know if that was the one. There was one I was like, I'm not sure I'm feeling that.
Well, I think that's been the case for Lauren across the board. She's, like I said, that night at Pasadena Rodeo, there was no doubt how big of a star she could be. Like, literally, she took over the room.
Oh, yeah.
And so that not everyone can do that. Like, that is I've seen enough acts
she
to know.
She commands a presence.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And her voice is so powerful, you don't expect it.
It's just so crazy to think, like, obviously she was on American Idol, but she and Kane Brown both came from the same middle school. Like, and they're both incredibly famous and are being, you know, doing so well.
Our stars of country music. Yeah. She's been on Dancing with the Stars and a couple other. And by the way, she told me about that in the interview at Tin Man Jam before anybody, but she didn't say what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I thought it was going to be a reality show because she was on a Nashville show that had a pilot. There was a pilot to it. And she's actually a really great actress, too. And obviously, I'm partial, but she really is a talented person. And I took that from the Pasadena Rodeo. And going back to the whole point of what even spurred that little piece of the conversation, she hasn't had a hit yet, like a true bona fide hit. Like, she's had great songs, and she's got an incredible voice, and she's amazingly talented and beautiful and
yeah,
all the things.
Yeah, because there was another song of hers that came out in the last couple of years that I thought should have totally been a hit, and it just did okay. And I was like, oh, man, that was really good.
I think that might have been Doing Fine. And then
that was one.
The Road Less Traveled.
Mm-hmm.
And see, Road Less Traveled, nobody really knew her yet. And
yeah.
I feel like it was a really deep story about her person. About her personally, mm-hmm. And it was such a deep story that people hadn't been able to draw those lines together. It was almost too soon, if you will, from if that had come out after she'd been on Dancing with the Stars, it might have told a different story or played a little differently. But I always thought that hit music was what she was missing, and I think she nailed it with this EP. Like,
well, hopefully it gets her some more legs.
Yeah, maybe all the record reps can listen to this podcast and be like, man. If Nick and Aaron like them, they've got to be big, right?
No? Right.
Who knows? So, all right, I think that's a good stopping point, Aaron.
Episode 29, it's a wrap.
Never miss an episode of Country Not Country with Aaron Austin and Nick Russo. Make sure to download the Radio.com app and subscribe to this podcast. Country Not Country, a Radio.com podcast. Special thanks to executive producers Sarah Fraser and Chase Murphy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.